Evening, everyone. We're considering Psalm 146 this evening. It'll be our responsive reading on the Lord's Day. Psalm 146. And I shall read the entire psalm. Just follow along. Verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Now we're only going to consider verses 1 to 4 for this evening's devotion. Now last week we introduced the last six psalms of the book of Psalms, and we considered how they were, while all the psalms talk about praising God, especially the last six psalms, the theme of them is specifically on praise. And Psalm 145 is basically the introduction to these series of psalms. Now, these psalms were probably written after the exile in Babylon. You know how Israel and Judah were exiled to Assyria and Babylon, respectively. And after their years of exile, they were given permission to return back to Jerusalem. So after they rebuilt, after they returned and they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, these psalms were likely to have been written to commemorate how God had brought them back, okay? And so they wanted to glorify God. They were so moved, you could say, that they couldn't contain their praise. And if you look at these psalms, you would see that they begin with praise and they end with praise. In each of these psalms, starting really with 146, it starts with praise ye the Lord, and it ends with praise ye the Lord, right? They begin with this phrase, and literally this phrase is what in Hebrew? All of us should know. It is hallelujah, right? So hallelujah in the beginning and hallelujah at the end. They basically were praising God for what he had done. Now, the Jews knew they were in exile because of their sin, right? They were guilty of worshiping idols. And now they were back in their land, not because, you know, God had said, okay, enough is enough, and you've paid your dues, you know, 70 years or so abroad, right, is sufficient. Well, it's not. They never paid their dues. They were only back in their land because God is gracious, right? No other reason. The penalty for idol worship and the rebuke of all the prophets had been certain death. But because they received this, you could say, light at the end of the tunnel, it is really purely by God's grace. So they were now living back in Judah, the land that God had promised them, and they were praising God for that. Now there are two things that we can see from these first four verses of Psalm 146. Firstly, we see that praise is enduring. And secondly, praise is for God. Right? Praise is enduring and praise is for God. Now, note in verse 1, what does he say? He calls upon his soul to praise the Lord. Okay? Now, the other parts of the Bible do call on, you know, our tongues to employ praise. It tells our lips to praise God. It tells us to praise God with our voices. But here, we see that, and it's noteworthy, that the psalmist calls on his soul to praise. Now, there are many times when our fleshly body parts find it difficult to praise God. Now, sometimes we are tired, right? You come to church early on a Sunday morning. Well, actually, you don't have that problem. But you come to church in the sleepy afternoon, right? And you at times find it difficult to praise God, don't you? Right? I confess, sometimes I do. And when you are sleepy, you don't want to praise God. So there is physical fatigue. You see this in the Garden of Gethsemane with all the disciples, right? Jesus told them to watch and to pray. And the fact of the matter is, during Passover, the moon is at its zenith. It is really, really bright. So for the disciples to fall asleep then was unusual. And secondly, Passover was a time when everyone was very used to staying up late at night. You know, for us, that could be New Year's Eve, right? Kids, parents, everyone stays up late. So Passover was like that. So the fact that they were tired was a spiritual matter, right? And so the flesh is weak. There's not only physical fatigue, there's also mental fatigue. After a long day's work, and of course, you're really sitting down. You're not up and about unless you're a tradesman or whatever, but you're sitting down at your desk in front of your computer and you've been working your mind and you eventually feel really tired. Now, this really was the case with Elijah. Right? Elijah, after having defeated the Baal prophets, after having worked so hard in a spiritual and mental manner, he was exhausted. And when Jezebel threatened to kill him, he was mighty discouraged. So there's physical fatigue, there's also mental discouragement. And so he was pursued all the way down to Hebron. He was weak, and God ministered to him. So mentally, we're weak. Physically, we're weak. So to demand praise of our flesh and of our mind, we all know that will fail. So we see here that the psalmist is asking his soul to praise God, right? Now, the soul can always find reason to praise God. If you take a look at Psalm 103, verse 2, it says here, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Now, what are the benefits that the soul receives from God? Well, obviously, it is salvation. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." So we see here that praise, right, is something that is enduring, okay? It is something that is enduring because the soul can praise God. And of course, the soul is eternal. And we see here in verse 2, "While I live, I will praise the Lord." So as long as the psalmist has breath, he will praise. So whatever hindrances on earth, such as disease, age, pain, suffering, or death, they can never touch the reasons for true praise. I remember my uncle, who was also a minister, he was sharing with me how he was ministering to this girl. She was about 4 years old, and she had leukemia. And this little girl was in a hospital bed, and she had tubes sticking up her, you know, sticking into her nose and her throat and into her arms. And my uncle didn't know really what to do to encourage her, so he read her the word. And you could see that even though she was sick, at 4 years old, she was able to ask the pastor in writing, "Why are you sad?" Right? "I'm going to die." She knew that. But then she says, "When I die, I will see Jesus." Right? So for a little girl who was undergoing such trauma of sickness, yet those things could not touch the reasons for her praise. Now last week, we saw how we are to praise the Lord and to be thankful to Him even for negative things in life. You know, but the real reasons for genuine praise are not circumstantial, they're not external, but they are internal. So praise is as long as we live, but secondly, praise is enduring as long as we exist. Right? You see that in verse 2, it says, "I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being." You know, we don't only possess a being here on earth, but we possess an eternal being. In heaven, right, we will exchange that which is earthly for that which is heavenly. We will stand perfected in the sight of God. Now you read all the passages in the book of Revelation, and you see how in heaven we will be praising God for an eternity. So praise is enduring here on earth when it concerns our soul, and especially in heaven where we will be perfected. That's the first lesson that we can learn from this psalm. Now the second lesson that we can learn is that praise is only for God. Now in verses 3 and 4, we're cautioned here not to put our confidence in man. Let me read verse 3 and 4 again. "Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish." Now there are two reasons why we are told not to put our confidence in man, not to put our praise in man. The first reason here is because man is powerless. We're told very clearly here that man lacks the ability to help. Right? That's what verse 3 says. "Put not your trust in princes, nor in the sons of man, in whom there is no help." Now the word "help" here is an interesting word. In other portions of the Bible, that exact Hebrew word is translated as salvation, deliverance, or victory. So the idea here is this. Man can be helpful from time to time in this life, but man can never offer eternal help. Therefore, to give any man that kind of praise is actually quite foolish. Now, in society, we tend to praise celebrities. In churches, who do you normally tend to praise? Well, office bearers, right? Pastors, preachers, those who have been, successful in ministry or long enough in ministry where you can see visible fruits. So note here that the caution is against praising man, against trusting man, even the most prominent or the most influential persons. Now, in my short time in ministry, I've seen, you know, notable pastors, and I've read of notable pastors who, because of praise given to them, their ministries have ended in ruin because they think that because they're so influential, they can do anything that they want. And that's sad. And usually what we see is the higher one is in power or authority or more prominent, the more prone sometimes it is for them to accept the praise. Right? Now, you remember at the farewell dinner for Pastor Ed, You have all these people, and I think generally everyone really appreciated his ministry, right? And they praised God for him. They talked about his ministry. You remember what Pastor's words were when he gave, when it was his turn to give his speech? He says, in the end, right, he is but an unprofitable servant. Now, that's something that is quite marvelous, because many people in ministry, at the end of their ministry, certainly don't see that. There was once a very famous journalist, a broadcaster. You might have heard of him, Walter Cronkite, CBS News. Well, Walter Cronkite was taking a cruise once with his wife. Well, not really a cruise, but it was on a nice leisurely boat down the river. And so they were speeding by, and there were some young people on the boat that was coming by on the other side, going in the opposite direction, and they were waving, and they were shouting something, right? So Walter Cronkite smiled, and he waved back, and he said hello to them. So the wife asked him, what were they saying? Do you know what they were saying? And he says, well, sure, they were saying, hello, Walter. And she said to him, no, they weren't. They were saying, low water. Right? Be careful of low water. Right? So, we're told not to trust in man. Right? Only God, right, is the one that we should praise. Now, the second reason why we shouldn't put our trust in man is because he is temporary and he is transient. Now, verse 4 says, his breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, in that very day his thoughts perish. Now, this should remind you of James 4:14, right? Man is but vapor, he is but dew, right? In the morning he is there, but by midday he is gone. And when man has passed from the scene, basically all that he has and all that he has to offer really will be passed away with him. Let me read to you Ecclesiastes 2:16. Ecclesiastes 2:16. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever, seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man? As the fool. You know, you can have great men, but after a while, you don't really remember them anymore. And how does the wise man or the great man die? In the same way as a fool dies, right? They all die, and, you know, death is called the great equalizer. So I think if we can draw several things from this psalm, especially the first four verses, is firstly, praise is enduring. You don't trust your flesh to praise God or your mind, but your soul. And so that brings to remembrance to us, although we are to give thanks in all circumstances, circumstances can be pretty bad, so we are to remind ourselves of the spiritual things that we can praise God for. And secondly, we don't praise or put our trust in man, no matter how prominent and faithful and successful and worthy they are, but to see them in light of eternity, that they perish away, and that God alone is worthy of our praise. Let's pray. Eternal, gracious Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that you would teach us never to look unto man, never to trust in man, or to praise man. We pray, O Lord, that you would give us the character of Christ, who sought to please you only. His meat, his food, was to do your will. And we marvel at how this God-man, though he was compassionate and kind towards people, yet he was no respecter of people. And so we pray, Lord, that you would fill us with that kind of spirit to praise only you, Lord. We commit ourselves into your hands. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We shall now sing the psalm. It's on the back of your handout. I'm not sure how many of you have this. We shall sing it.